Commissioners, I don't see anybody waiting to speak back here yet. I have a question for staff. Exhibit G, in our packet, it says it's a downtown program plan, environmental impact report analysis for 320 Alamitos. So does that mean you went back to the drawing board and did a mini analysis of the impact of this project?
Thank you for the question, Commissioner. So we did do analysis for this project. I wouldn't use the words went back to the drawing board. The analysis you find in your packet simply confirms that the project does qualify for utilizing the downtown plan EIR. So I would describe it as checking our own work and making sure that there's nothing out of the ordinary or exceptional from an environmental standpoint about this project. But all of that information was provided in your packet. We do that analysis anyways, but in recent projects, there's been a discussion about wanting to make sure we show our work and share that with the commission, and that's what we've done this evening.
Okay, well, I have an issue with page 63, item F. Would the project result in inadequate parking capacity? With more than 30 parking garages and numerous places to park on the street, the downtown plan, PEIR, found there is an adequate supply of downtown parking spaces. The proposed multifamily residential project will contain greater numbers of on-site vehicle, bicycle, electric vehicle parking than is currently required in the plan. Yes, that part I agree with. The part I don't agree with is that there are numerous places to park on the street. We're like smack dab on the edge of a highly impacted parking.
So, Commissioner, the law changed in September of 2013. It's state law that when we do parking analysis, we look only at consistency with the standard. The overall availability of parking in the urban landscape is not a CEQA impact. I believe we had a memo on this a year or so ago. We can recirculate that memo, but from a CEQA standpoint, the availability of parking in the outside environment is not an impact. What you look at is whether the project complies with the relevant standard, in this case PD30, the downtown plan, and this project exceeds that standard.
Okay. That puts us behind a rock and a hard place, because we have to follow legal findings in order to approve or disapprove. There have to be legal findings to go either way. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and say my piece. I think the building is fantastic. I think it was a challenging site, and the design team did a great job. I just puts a knot in my stomach to place this building on a site, and I think it's an improvement to the site, obviously. Right now it's an unmaintained parking lot. But I hate to take away 50 places that people are really counting on and have counted on for a number of years and not have any kind of option for them. And I'm wondering if there's a win-win kind of thing where you can actually develop more parking spaces inside the building and charge, you know, rent out the spots and actually earn money back to pay for whatever the development costs are.
Chair, are you posing that proposal to the applicant to respond to? Is that
a
question for the applicant?
Yes. And if you want to think about this for a minute, you know.
I'm going to answer the question. I mean, we've internally have already considered this. The question is, look, we're already going down level, so the possibility of adding parking would have to be going down an additional level. It's really not an option. The only option would be to look at the management of the ongoing management of the property and see if there was a way to do some type of shared parking use agreement based upon how it was vetted in terms of use, on-site use. There's clearly every intent that the tenants in this building park in this building. There's 77 units. There's 105 parking spaces. There is the possibility to manage those spaces so that there's excess. That excess could be contributed back to the neighborhood community, and that could be mitigated. That could help mitigate some of the loss for those existing spaces, and the ownership is open to that. But at this point, it's really hard to identify how that would occur until, you know, you start to start that process of leasing those units.
That's pretty vague in terms of whether
it has to be vague. But the issue is that they're open to it. But to your point, look, I understand there is a parking lot, and that lot is being used to assist parking currently. But it's private property, and at some point, this property was going to get developed. You know that. Everyone sits in this room knows it. And the unfortunate thing is that now we're facing that time. And I think that the owner of this property is willing to try to mitigate that impact as much as possible. And I think the conditions that were imposed on this project are trying to mitigate as much as possible. But there's a reality of what we're dealing with. And I think that we're facing that. So are we open to trying to come up with some shared parking opportunities for the neighborhood? We are. Can we commit to those at this point? It's really hard to do that. But we're open to having conversations with the community and trying to mitigate those in the future.
There would have to be a defined process of some type, but
I mean, if staff can help us work through it, we would be happy to continue have those conversations with staff, more than happy.
And
we are on other, just so you know, on another project downtown, we've advanced that conversation very far on a project that's coming forward to the point where we're looking at, I think, 70 or 80 shared spaces with the community. In this project, I mean, we'd be happy to have that conversation with staff. I can't say how, you know, we're open.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Cruz.
Thank you. Well, just based on that discussion just now, they're required to have 97 spaces and they're providing 105. They can't rent out or go below that 97 number, is that correct?
They cannot go below that 97. However, depending upon the use on the site, on the occupancy, potentially residents won't have cars and won't need the spaces. There is no... There is no provision in the code that would restrict the use of these spaces outside of the residents of the building, so that if there is a potential for us to work out something where the spaces could be used some portion of the day in the evenings, a.m., p.m., we'd be happy to work with the developer to work something out. And I think language that does leave it loose, because as the applicant has stated, they can't commit to anything, but I would say that given the difficulty of the parking situation in the neighborhood currently, I'd say whatever number of spaces we can get, it's certainly worth the effort to try to make that occur.
Did you have anything else?
Yeah, a few more questions. I wasn't around before the downtown plan was adopted. Could you just go explain a little bit the reasoning behind reducing it to one per unit versus two spaces per unit?
My understanding at the time, the downtown plan occurred around the same time as the city was establishing its mobility element. And the very significant driving force behind the mobility was geared around the reduction of congestion, greenhouse gases, and the city's policy established in the mobility element was for what we call a park once philosophy in the downtown area. Again, to try to encourage to provide parking in a manner that reduced the number of vehicles that were driving and to encourage people to use alternative modes of transportation such as biking, walking, and public transit. So that was the framework around which the PD 30 plan was built, and the mobility element, and the two are in sync. They speak to the same objective of reducing the number of vehicles that are driven and providing alternative means of transportation. And this project is in the downtown, and it is in within easy walking distance of mass transit.
Okay, thank you. Now, when the downtown plan was adopted, was the height limit in this section of downtown, was it increased? Do you know what the height limit was before?
I do not know.
Okay. A couple of the questions came up during the public comments. In the significant removal or the removal of mature trees, how is that finding determined? What's a significant tree versus a mature tree?
So we do not have any heritage trees or any protected tree status, but that condition is to ensure that if mature trees are removed, that there's sufficient replacement trees on site. At the location right now, there's two eucalyptus trees and one palm tree on the billboard location. There are no trees on the parking lot site. This project is incorporating a row of continuous trees along the eastern landscape setback. That's for parking garage screening, but those will rise at minimum 20, 30 feet for adequate screening. And then on the open space levels, particularly the courtyard, there are a number of trees proposed.
Okay, thank you. Back to Exhibit G in the IER analysis. For the section of parks and recreation impacts, now it goes into detail about how much acreage and how much parkland is required for residents, and it states that it's not possible to supply that downtown. How are park fees, or how are they distributed, or what happens with them?
Yes, the city does, for all new residential units, requires a parkland mitigation fee, and that fee goes into the budget of the Parks, Recreation, and Marine Department, and they can use that fee for any number of ways to enhance open space provision to residents of the city.
Is anything planned for downtown, any parkland?
I don't believe there is a specific new additional parkland in the downtown, but that fund could conceivably use for the improvements of the existing parks within the downtown area. The Promenade Park is one. There are a couple of other parks in the downtown area generally.
Yeah, Commissioner, just to give you an example of a recent project, if you've been on the promenade recently, there's new play equipment that was funded with Quimby fees. So it does allow for improvements to existing parks. Those funds do accumulate, and if the level of development investment in the city were to rise from the current pattern, there could be sufficient funds to purchase a remainder parcel or a parcel that's defunct on its tax payments and create a pocket park type environment. But based on the current flows, Parks, Rec, and Marine has mostly used those funds to enhance existing parks.
And for transportation and traffic, is this project obviously, has it gone through Public Works, and has there been any changes made to the project based on their comments?
Mark, the planner can speak to that specifically, but what we do know is that a result, and it's not unusual that there are a significant number of additional improvements that would be required to the infrastructure resulting from this project, and those are all reflected in the conditions of approval. And they would typically include things like sidewalk repair, repaving of alleys, traffic signal upgrades, or anything intended to enhance or to mitigate any potential traffic impacts. And so that all of those specific improvements would be in addition to the traffic mitigation fee that's required for the project.
Mm-hmm. And the limits of the downtown plan, how far east does it go on this project? I know is it all the way to the next block?
The downtown plan jogs a little bit on its eastern boundary, but I know a part of it runs along Cerritos, and so I know it encompasses a couple of blocks east of Alamitos. But I can actually, if you want me to, I can pull up a map for you, but it does extend a couple of blocks.
Okay.
Comments, questions? So I think it's a significant number of our population that maybe that feels that the parking requirements currently embedded in PD 30 are maybe not adequate. So what is the process to modifying PD 30? The normal logical process, what would that be?
The process to modify the PD 30 would be a zoning code amendment. That's the process. However, staff's position regarding the PD 30 is that it has, for a document that's as comprehensive and as extensive in terms of the areas that it affects, we think that given that it has been in place only three to four years, and we have only seen one project that's currently under construction come out in compliance with those standards. So our position is that we think it's premature at this point in time to consider changing the PD. I think we'd rather see that projects come out of the ground and see what the impact of those projects are in terms of a real-time impact. Most of the development that's in the downtown right now, and in particular the Alamitos Beach area, is older development, and certainly many of those projects were underparked when they were built. And that's certainly something that, in considering the PD30's objectives for reduced vehicle use, and looking at the whole notion of, as I mentioned before, greenhouse gases, we think that that project, the PD30 plan, deserves time to have additional projects come out of the ground, see what the real life experience is, and before we consider changing the PD at this time. But the specific response to your question is that that is a zone change, a zoning code amendment to change the PD30.
It's kind of late to use it as an experiment, and then it ends up affecting a large number of people.
I understand the intent of the comment, though, but
I'm not trying to pick on you.
No, I understand. I just, my point, though, is that we don't think that it was an experiment at the time. It was a very conscious policy decision that was based upon the direction of state law and the experiences of what was occurring in the downtown area and the vision that the community had and the city council had for the downtown. That's what's currently embodied in the PD30. And it's my understanding that the city council is still comfortable with that vision that has been established in the PD. And again, I think certainly with a little bit more experience of more projects actually on the ground and seeing the results of the impacts of that, I think we can be in a better place to make a determination about whether or not there need to be changes to it.
Well, certainly it's a double whammy when you're eliminating existing parking and developing projects that are parked at what I would call less than, I don't want to say standard, less than traditional ratios. You know, you're talking about people that are used to two cars, you know, two parking stalls per unit, and these are less than traditional, and it's expecting a whole different lifestyle, and that lifestyle doesn't exist yet. So, I'm not sure we can do. I'm almost positive that we can't do anything about it tonight. We're gonna have to act based on the legal basis, on a legal basis for this project. But what I'd like to see happen is to continue having open discussions about, you know, what impact these zoning laws are having, and at some point, then they need to be modified. That's my opinion. I don't know. You know, it's a long road. But if there aren't any more comments or questions from the commission, I'd entertain a motion at this point. Anybody? Oh, Commissioner Perez.
This is a tough one. But we're going to get through this. I trust the developer. I trust their past work. I lived at 700 East Ocean at the International Towers. I know what it's like to have one space in my condo, rent the other one.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I wasn't able to hear it.
This is going to be a tough one, but I believe we're going to get through this. I trust the developer. I've seen their past work. And with that, I'm prepared to make a motion to recommend to approve a site plan review and lot merger in conjunction with the construction of a 7-story multifamily residential building containing 77 dwelling units and an integrated 3-level, 105-stall parking garage at 320 Alamitos Avenue in the Downtown Plan Development District, PD30, District 2.
Can I make a friendly amendment to that?
I'll hear it.
I request that the developer seek seek a not a relationship, a a legal commitment to somehow re-rent the stalls that are not that are in excess in this situation.
Commissioner Chair, I believe.
I'm sorry. It is extremely challenging to hear what our commission is saying, and we're trying to understand and allow them to make their decision. So would you please allow us that respect? Thank you.
Commissioner Chair, I'd love to assist you. I believe the intent of the motion is that you're requesting that the applicant pursue a decoupling of the parking on this particular project, and to the degree that there is excess parking available, not being used by the residents, that be offered at a market price to surrounding individuals on a monthly basis, and that those arrangements be conformed through planning staff and the city attorney.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly what I was intending. That's the friendly amendment.
Madam Chair, I agree with that. I believe that the developer would pursue those options and discussions with staff to make that happen. So I make that motion with that slight amendment.
Commissioner Cruz.
Is that a condition of approval? Or is...
Can it be a condition of approval?
It can be, and we would recommend that it be so.
Yes.
Chair Van Hork, I'd like to add for the record that the developer who's seated to my left indicated that they would be, approve that as a condition of approval. They would not object to it. Is that correct, Mr. Van Dees? Thank you.
Thank you. And the second is from Commissioner Cruz, and do you approve the friendly amendment?
Yeah, I second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Let's cast our votes.
Motion carries unanimously.
No.
Shame.
We can appeal.
Shame.
Well,
shame on you.
Thank you all for coming.